I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Midnight! Straight up! Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Thank you, Paul. I love you very much.
I forgot you're here still. That's Paulie Rosenberg there. I forgot. That's on me. I forgot to give you the opening there to play just some useless clip of somebody saying your name. So I apologize for that. Do you have anything else there?
Way to go, Paulie.
Okay. Do you have anything else there in the tool box that isn't a drop about you back there, Rosenberg? Or is it all just somebody like Ricky or...
You're my best friend.
Yeah, well, that was AI. That's AI Tommy. You know, there's many versions of Tommy. That clip that was just played was an AI version of positive Tommy. That was not me. But Paul, leave, please. I need you removed.
You and I need to have a three-way.
Well, I don't know about that, but I need to have you removed from the premises. That's for sure. Trade deadline day has come and gone. Obviously, a lot of big moves. The Yankees, breaking news, if you're just tuning in, George Lombard Jr. is being called up. Volpe getting sent down. Javihi getting sent down. Dominguez getting sent down. So when you get your top prospect up to the big leagues, it obviously represents a lot of hope. It represents a lot of enthusiasm. It represents a lot of just enthusiasm for the presence of that young player. And we've been hearing about Lombard for quite some time. I thought he was going to get called up here about a week and change ago. That did not happen. And look, whether they planned this or not, the timing of it is just brilliant because it was a bad day for the Yankees. It was a brutal loss. I thought the stuff that Brian Cashman said about Aaron Judge and not revealing when he's going to get imaging, and it came off to me like it was the first sign of the Yankees making you feel like, hey, it's possible that Aaron Judge might not return. You know, Brian was asked about the concern level, you know, of Aaron Judge returning, and he said, quote, I think that question is a fair question on anybody's side. Like, is that possible? It's always possible that things don't go the way you want, but currently we are still very optimistic that he's going to return. And then, you know, he's obviously got to go for more scans and more imaging to see if he can get cleared for baseball activities, and Cashman wouldn't even tell you when that's going to be. So we don't even know when that is going to happen, and when he goes for that, it doesn't mean he's going to get cleared. And even if he does get cleared, it's going to take weeks for Aaron Judge to get back into form to be playing in big league games. And I've been as optimistic as anybody that Aaron Judge is going to return this year. I thought mid-August, then I thought early September. Now I think if you get him back like with a week or so to go in the regular season, you should be doing cartwheels. Because I went from like 90% or so that Aaron Judge is returning this season, and now I am probably more towards 60% that he's coming back, which is a major drop. I mean, that's 30%. But, you know, the time is not necessarily on the side of the Yankees and Aaron Judge. And when you're not hearing things like, well, he's going to go for imaging next week, or we're very optimistic he's going to clear and pass all the tests and be ready to go for baseball activities. I mean, Aaron Judge is basically going to have to go through a spring training all over again once he is cleared, which he hasn't been yet, and we still don't even know when he's going in for more scans. So, I don't know. My optimism has dropped dramatically when it comes to Judge coming back. And then as far as the deadline, look, Garcia is great. I think he's going to be a huge bat for the Yankees down the stretch here. We know what he does against right-handed pitching. He absolutely destroys it. He's perfect for Yankee Stadium. He essentially hits all his home runs to right field. And you saw it tonight. I mean, Luis Garcia Jr. was essentially going to be the hero. It was going to be a storybook kind of debut for him. And then the home run derby continued, along with some bad managing from Aaron Boone. I mean, Yarbrough starting the eighth inning makes no sense. So, I mean, Aaron Boone at it again. But the loss was awful. The trade deadline was underwhelming. I just talked to you about the Judge news, which I thought was concerning. And like, as much as you like Garcia, and we all do, Ramos is interesting. I think he's got a lot of toughness. I think he's got a lot of goyuns. He definitely hits left-handed pitching, which is a problem for the Yankees, so you address that. There are a couple of things that you don't like about his game, though, when it comes to Elliot Ramos. Number one, he strikes out a ton. And I was very against adding more strikeouts to this lineup. Well, the Yankees did that with him, with Ramos. And he's also bad defensively. So I don't like those parts of his game. I told you Springer was a long shot, but if you can get your hands on a George Springer, that to me would have been an unbelievable move. Unbelievable. But obviously more of a long shot because of the fact that, well, number one, it's in the division. And number two, I mean, Toronto could still be thinking about some type of present or future with Springer. I don't know. I felt like if he was somehow moved, the Yankees needed to be all in on Springer. That did not happen. I didn't like a Soler or an Adele. Ramos, like I said, I think it's a mixed bag. There's some things he brings to the table that I think will help the Yankees, and there are other things that he will bring that will be a detriment to the team, including striking out too much, which is not winning baseball when you get to October. You have to have a team that makes contact. It's all well and good to have all these home runs, and everybody enjoys it, and it's amazing, and the Yankees, the barrage of power, and all that stuff is great. And I understand adding power at the deadline if you think Judge and Stanton aren't coming back. But the bottom line is you need more contact hitters and you need guys that strike out less. And hopefully Lombard can be that, you know, a guy that puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out. And I think Lombard has all the tools. I mean, defensively, he is going to be a wizard, I think. I mean, right out of the gate, I think Lombard will be outstanding as far as his defense. Offensively, that may take a little bit of time, but the idea that Volpe is no longer here, and I think Anthony Volpe's career with the Yankees is over. I really do. I mean, perhaps he could become a utility player down the line. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think the fit, everything, I think his time is up. Same thing with Dominguez. I mean, Dominguez has been more hype than actual substance. And obviously both of those guys were sent down here as far as Lombard getting called up. And then with Ramos joining the club later today, Dominguez was sent down as well. And Chavihi. So you sent down a bullpen arm. You sent down Volpe. You sent down Dominguez to make room for Lombard, to make room for Ramos. And then as far as the bullpen, look, I thought Brian Cashman needed to add an arm. When you get rid of Duvall, the right move, by the way. You get rid of Jake Bird, the right move, by the way. This bullpen is so taxed, and I understand what was fed to us here, which is, well, Clark Schmidt can be in the pen, Weathers can be in the pen, Warren can be in the pen. Yeah, that's all well and good. But this bullpen right now is taxed beyond belief. And I wouldn't say it's a dire situation, far from it, but the Rays are clearly not going anywhere, and the Red Sox are right on your heels. So you're trying to climb the ladder to reach Tampa, and you're trying to fight off Boston at the same time. And you have a bullpen right now that is completely shot. And it doesn't help when Aaron Boone makes, I think, a massive mistake by starting the inning with Yarbrough. I did not understand that at all. And it potentially cost the Yankees a great victory, maybe even their best of the season, and it ended up just being kind of the icing on the cake, which was a bad day. But it is a new day, yes it is, and Lombard being called up obviously will put a smile on a lot of people's faces, as it should. It's not going to solve all the problems. It's not going to erase the fact, I'm sure Brian Cashman would like this to be the case, it's not going to erase the fact that the Yankees did not somehow, some way, did not add a catcher. It's not going to erase the fact that the Yankees did not add a bullpen arm. It's not going to erase the fact that the Rays had a great deadline. It's not going to erase the fact that the Red Sox, and you know what? Hey, you could sit here from now to the end of time and say, well, they gave up the Red Sox too much for Adley Rutschman. Okay, well, you know what? They outbid the Yankees. That's what they did.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
And, I don't know, I remember a day where you couldn't outbid the Yankees. And now all of a sudden the Dodgers do it all the time. Now the Red Sox are doing it. And it's... Yeah, Garcia's a good move. I think Ramos can help you in ways. But you needed a catcher. And you allowed your competition, the Rays and the Red Sox, to get two catchers. And you didn't. That is a massive failure. So you can dangle Lombard out there all you want. That's great. Everyone's going to be excited and pumped up for that. But the fact still remains that you did not upgrade at a position that you desperately needed to upgrade at, and your two teams in your division that are right there with you got the two best catchers on the market. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Rockland County. Matt first joins us here on After Hours, Lugie in the Late Night. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Tommy. What's good, man?
What's happening?
Yankee fan, super frustrated. Actually, there's a lot of things going on. And by the way, I'll get to Lombard later in the call, but this is exactly what Cashman wanted, actually. I think this is exactly the plan that you were saying. This was exactly what they were going to feed us. Let's bring up Lombard. Let's get the pressure off me. And by the way, Cashman was close tonight, having one night where we say at least frustrating deadline. But hey, Wells had two knocks.
Yeah.
He went deep.
Yep. Garcia with the big home run.
You were close there.
Cashman almost got the last laugh for the day. You know what I mean? It would have been one of those situations where the narrative would have been that the Yankee fans were upset all day. They besmirched the name of Brian Cashman. Even McMonagle ripped him. That's when you know it's bad.
Well, for sure.
Lose Middle America when you lose McMonagle. I mean, when he's crushing the Yankees, you know it's really bad. And then to have that type of win that the Yankees almost had, like you said, with Wells, with Garcia being the hero, Cashman could have had a big smile on his face and the narrative would have been tomorrow. See, you should never doubt Brian Cashman. When the reality is that no matter what happened in the game, the fact of the matter, Matt, and I think we agree, the Yankees and Brian Cashman did not have a complete trade deadline.
Tommy, I called you last night, and what we were talking about, go out and get three bats. Go be aggressive. This should be the fire under Cashman's ass. And guess what happened? Yeah. Everyone on Twitter refreshing constantly.
Yeah.
No way this is actually happening. Oh, it's 3:30. No way this is it's 4:30. Oh, it's 5. Oh, it's 5:30. We don't have a catcher. I mean, what the heck? And then Ramos, we get the Ramos news. Great. Fantastic. Got our right-handed bat. Mm-hmm. Let's go get a reliever. Let's go get a catcher.
Yeah.
No way. It's 5 minutes to the depth. We don't have a catcher. And I think, actually, I'm not going to go sit here and defend Cashman. I don't want to do that. And I'm fuming. I am fuming. Now, you leave a deadline where Austin Wells, look, it's put up or shut up time for him. If he goes off here and his return, and by the way, I do think there are some really good signs. And I think Paul O'Neill and Joe Girardi, they know more baseball than us. And when they say, and I know they work for Yes Network, and I know there's a cloud over that. And I think Michael Kay for sure gets caught in that, for sure, no doubt. But them, when they say, hey, I think Austin Wells has put together a really nice week, like the swings in Philly, he went the other way, left center field, hit a homer out that way. Then he stayed up the middle tonight, then he pulled a homer. I think he made a little bit of an adjustment with his hands, if you, I don't know, you look at that. I think Austin Wells has an offensive bat in there. Now, let's revisit this in spring training. But now we have to revisit this in the current day.
Right.
We could have gone into next year with maybe an open competition.
Correct.
You bring it up. And now
it's present
day. Now Austin, correct. Now it's present day. Now you got to deal with Wells where, dude, you better hit.
Yeah, he has to hit because there's no other option now. If he doesn't hit, they are screwed at that position. They are going to get zero production out of catcher.
They're toast. You're calling the 4A player, J.C. Ascara, who goes down to the minors and one dot OPS. That's not a plan. That's not a plan.
And I think the market didn't break.
Correct. And I think the market didn't break well for Cashman. The Twins went out and made moves. They were clearly buyers. I think they sold off some pieces, but they were maybe retooling a little. And Stevenson, I don't know if you saw the interview. I mean, he was basically pointing all. I don't know if front offices really make this. I don't know if front offices let this cloud their decision making. He was crying on the field when they asked him about getting traded. I don't know if that makes a difference, but I doubt that this catching market. Yeah, I don't think so. But I don't think the catching market broke well for the Yankees.
It didn't. It shrunk. But you know what, though, Matt? You still have to outbid your competition. Langelier's getting hurt, out for the year. That didn't help. Goodman, the price tag being too high, or the Rockies just being unwilling to move him, totally understandable, by the way, did not help. But most of all, I think Jeffers from Minnesota, that was going to be the Yankees' target. He was most likely going to be the catcher for the Yankees. That was going to be the guy they acquired. But obviously, the Twins are playing better baseball. They didn't move him. Well, you know what? Hicks got moved. Why didn't they get him? Rutschman, all right. The Red Sox just completely went all in for him. When are the Yankees going to go all in for somebody? Is that happening anytime soon? I mean, the Red Sox are on fire right now, and they're just like, all right, you know what? We're gonna put all our chips in the middle, and we're gonna add that catcher. Could have got Liam Hicks. I mean, he's having a terrific year for the Marlins, and now he's on Tampa. So your competition got catchers, and the Yankees didn't. Yeah, the Wells swelled up, or shrunk. There was a word there I was looking for, and it wasn't swelled up. But the well dried up. That was the word. It dried up. I understand that. But there were still guys and still options out there, and the Yankees did not go the route of outbidding their competition. Let's head out to... It is after hours, by the way. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Teddy in Yonkers. He joins us next. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, Lugie. Hey. Lugie, they call me, being a math teacher, they call me Teddy Numbers.
Yes, they do.
Okay, I'm going to be
Teddy Numbers in a way that you're a math teacher, not necessarily like you're a bookie. You're more Teddy Numbers because of the math side, not necessarily because you're a bookie.
Got analyzing it. Things. Lugie, I'm tired of the strikeouts. Ramos, you say he's hits lefties very
strikes
good.
Strikes out a ton.
But he strikes out too much.
Yes, he does.
Enough of that. I don't want him. Okay,
well,
I don't
you got
want
him. Doesn't matter if you want him or not.
I know that. I understand that.
Well,
it's a bad move.
Maybe that's not the way to say it. You're unhappy with the move, but the bottom line is he's here. There's nothing you can do.
I understand.
About it.
I'm unhappy with the move.
Okay.
And Loogie, let me just tell you this right now, and I'll differ from what you said earlier, a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are not going to beat Boston. They're not going to beat Tampa. Boston's got tremendous pitching.
Yes, they do.
They got hitting, and they're going to beat the Yankees. You may disagree.
Well, two months ago, Boston didn't exist. 2 months ago, and I remember saying this, I was like, listen, the American League is weak, but if a team emerges here, then we can have a conversation. Boston has clearly emerged. They're a team that the Yankees definitely don't want to see come October time because of that pitching, because of the history. I get that. Tampa, I think, is good. I don't think they're great. I think they're definitely beatable. But here's the thing, though, Teddy. I am starting to get less and less optimistic about the return of Aaron Judge. I really am. I mean, I'm not hearing great things from Brian Cashman today that make me think, oh, Aaron Judge is going to be back in the lineup before this season is over.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree. Look what Boston did to the Dodgers over the weekend.
They swept them.
They swept them.
Yeah.
Okay? Like they didn't exist.
Oh, Boston's unbelievable right now. Look, they're the hottest and the best team in baseball. I mean, there's still time to go, but I don't think Boston's going anywhere. I think they're going to be here to stay, and they feel like that team of destiny. I get that. I still think the Yankees are going to the World Series, and we obviously differ there. But that doesn't mean the Yankees didn't have a bad day and a bad deadline, but I think when push comes to shove because of their pitching, the Yankees, and if they do get these guys back in Stanton and Judge, and obviously the lineup's going to look really good. I hear you on the strikeouts, and I agree with you on the strikeouts, but I still think when it's all said and done, the Yankees will get to the World Series.
All right, I hope you're right. I hope I do a mea culpa, and I'll be the first one to acknowledge it, but I don't think it's going to happen because that's why they call me numbers, and I deal with all the statistics and all of the different categories, okay?
Well, Teddy, you really haven't given me one yet, though. That's the thing. You tell me you deal in numbers, but what number? You haven't given me a number yet. Strikeouts, is that the number we're going with?
Well, that's one of them, Loogie. And clutch situations, Loogie. Did anybody expect? Everybody could have him like this.
I think I had a dump. Please put the three people back there. No one can put the phone pot on. Thank you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Sal in Brooklyn. He joins us next. What's up, Sal?
Tommy, what's going on,
hey,
big man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, you know, Cashman, again, he gets the pass. Every year he's got a $320 million payroll, but comes time for the trading deadline, we need to add pieces. We need to add pieces. I mean, I know people need to add ancillary pieces, but this guy's always looking for major pieces, number one. Number two, now you get this guy, Ramos. Horrible defensively. Horrible.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not going to say bad. Horrible defensively, strikeout, home run. Mm-hmm. Typical Cashman player. So now you got Ramos, DH. You picked up Garcia, DH. You got Rice, who's
you
a DH.
You have too many DHs.
You got Stan, who's a DH.
Yeah, I
and Nolan Jones is going to come back. He's a DH. You got five DHs on this squad.
But that is more
and then
about
Cashman
the...
sits back and smiles.
Sal, that's more about the construction of the team. The thing is that Brian Cashman painted himself into a corner here where he just had to go get some good bats. And you just have to deal with it and let the chips fall where they fall because they already had too many DHs. And that's more about the construction of the team. But you're 100% spot on. I don't know when all these guys come back. Let's just say Stanton does come back. Where are these guys playing? How are they going to distribute the playing time with these players?
And then as much as we need a catcher, third base is a major hole on this squad since A-Rod left. Major hole. You get no production from third base. I don't care about his hit today. I don't care.
McMahon,
he's horrible.
I agree with you.
McMahon, I know.
Yeah, offensively,
we had no third baseman since A-Rod. When you got zero production coming out of third base, all it does is opens up the infield for everybody.
Well, Sal, let's be honest.
Third
base shortstop catcher has been a black hole for this team. They haven't gotten any kind of production out of any of those positions. Now, you hope Lombard can do that. Catcher, you're screwed. I mean, you're just literally like lighting candles praying that Austin Wells can hit. And at third base, I mean, what you could do now is move Caballero over there.
He's not a third baseman either, man.
I know. Here's the other thing, too.
Yeah,
you could have moved. I guess you could move Jazz over there, but he stinks at third base.
He ain't going. Jazz ain't moving. He already said I'm a second baseman.
I know.
You know, it's just, again, it's the construct of this team, man.
100%.
As long as Hal is happy, and I mean this sincerely, I'm following him since the mid-60s. As long as Hal is happy selling our tickets and then they fall on that premise of, Will we make the playoffs every year? My man, you're lucky the playoffs have expanded because you're garbage. Straight up.
Yeah,
so that's all. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate the passion. I think you're being probably a little too strong there by saying they're garbage. I think that's a little harsh, but I hear your sentiments. I understand where you're coming from. There is a lot of platoons on this team. There are a lot of DHs on this team. There are way too many strikeouts on this team. There's a lot of ifs about this team. Well, if these starting pitchers can be effective bullpen guys, if Judge comes back, if Stanton comes back, totally understand it from a Yankee fan like Sal that is aggravated and frustrated. And we heard from Teddy numbers before that. He is pessimistic. Now, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I remain optimistic that they're going to the World Series. I still think they, when push comes to shove, they're the best team in the American League. But boy, the Red Sox are changing that narrative. Like I said, right now they're the hottest and best team in baseball. But we're not playing October right now. When we get to October, I think the Yankees will emerge as that team. And we all know it because they have a championship starting rotation, the Yankees do. I think they have a close-to-championship bullpen, although I would like to have seen another arm get added to it, especially because they're so gassed right now out there. They're on E. The tank is essentially empty. And perhaps it is hitting an inside straight, but if Lombard comes up here, which he has now, he'll start tomorrow. If you're just joining us, George Lombard Jr. has been called up. Anthony Volpe has been sent down. Trevihi has been sent down. Dominguez has been sent down, obviously with Ramos coming to the team tomorrow or later today. So obviously some corresponding moves needed to happen. So you did drop a lot of and cut a lot of dead weight in Volpe. I think his Yankee career is basically over. I think Jason Dominguez, his Yankee career is basically over. Yeah, they're young players, but I just don't see it happening here. Sometimes you need a change of scenery. Perhaps Volpe in another setting could be a good utility player somewhere. Dominguez, still at 23, maybe he could be a productive outfield somewhere else, but I don't think it's happening with the Yankees. I think they made that very clear by keeping Spencer Jones, and I understand that. I mean, I would definitely send down Dominguez over Jones because at least Jones could play defense. Dominguez is lost in the outfield. His baseball IQ is embarrassingly bad. Embarrassingly bad. And I totally get keeping Jones up here over Dominguez. I think that was the right move. If you could get rid of Grisham, they'd do it in a heartbeat. And now Grisham hit a home run tonight, which means he'll lead off for the next 3 weeks. He bought himself three more weeks sort of in the sun here, which, I mean, Trent Grisham, we all first guessed that one. That was a bad move as far as the qualifying offer. I mean, it was a career year last year. And look, Garcia's having a career year, much like Grisham did last year. I think Garcia's a little bit more sustainable for next year. But there's always that fear of, hey, you trade for a guy having a career year. Grisham had the career year last year, and he went back to the norm this year. Garcia, his numbers are so much better this year than they have been in the past. But, hey, look, you ride that heater for the next 2 months. He's going to be a big part of the middle of the order, Garcia is, and you hope next year he can be as good as he was this year. And this is an emerging player and not just a year that was the best year of his life. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Isaac in New Paltz. He joins us next. What's up, Isaac?
What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on?
So the thing that really frustrates me about this deadline, outside of the fact that they didn't, you know, go out and get a catcher and a reliever, is that it just, like, enforces the fact that this team is entirely built around platoons. And you look at, like, all of the, you know, the teams of the past, really any championship team, there's at most one platoon, you know, and it's like six positions that's being platoon, catcher, first base, you know, all these things. And, you know, you want all these guys to get everyday reps. I like Garcia, but if we're really being honest, he's only going to play against righties. Ramos is at best only going to play against lefties.
Right.
And I get worried about Lombard. He better play every day if they decide to platoon him too. And it's just,
I think Lombard will play every day. I mean, obviously get a rest day every once in a while, but I think you call him up here. Yeah. He's your top prospect. There is no real, to me, stiff competition here I mean, Caballero is pretty good, but like Lombard should get the lion's share of the reps going forward.
I agree. I mean, it kind of enforces a problem that I have with Boone, that he doesn't go with gut. He kind of plays the number card, where sometimes the numbers, like the analytics card, which sometimes it works, but also I don't know. And that, in this case, he kind of has, you know, less to work with because everyone kind of sucks right now. But it's, I mean, seeing such a flipped lineup every single day and guys not getting everyday reps, it hurts. It hurts them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny because, I think with Luis Garcia, I you got to almost find a way to play him against lefties. I know he's bad against lefties, but I feel like he's got to be out there at least 70% of the time. But we talked about this. If, in fact, all these guys come back, there is a log jam as far as playing time when you have, you'll have Goldschmidt, you'll have Rice, you'll have Garcia, you'll have Stanton. You just got way too many DHs here. And how do we know that Judge is going to be able to play right field when he returns? So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks when it comes to playing time. Now, listen, if Judge and Stanton don't come back, it makes it a little bit easier. But obviously, you want them back. And then you got to figure out how are you going to make this lineup work day in and day out and give these players the reps that they need, whether it's September or obviously when you get to the postseason.
I will say Goldie has been bad. The last month or so.
Look, he was so really hot. He was so good in the early start of the year. He's an aging player. It's hard to expect that he was going to be that type of level throughout the year. He kind of did this last year. He fell off when we got to the dog days, and he still brings a lot to the table as far as leadership and defense, but I hear you, and I still think when push comes to shove, Goldschmidt will hit against lefties, but I hear you. He's obviously fallen off as well.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Tommy.
Yeah, you got it, bro. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, as we react to a lot of news today, not just the trade deadline, and we will get into what the Mets did over the last 24 hours or so. That'll come up in the next hour here in the 1 a.m. hour. But the big news, the breaking news, if you're just tuning in, George Lombard Jr. has been called up. Finally, he will be the starting shortstop. I'm just saying that. No one has told me that, but obviously he'll be the starting shortstop when the Yankees take on the Cardinals in Game 2 of that series. Yankees dropped this one tonight in what was more home run derby than it was an actual baseball game. Lombard called up. Volpe sent down. Dominguez sent down. Trevihi sent down. And obviously, corresponding moves to not only Lombard, but also with Elliot Ramos joining the team, and he will be, in all likelihood, in the lineup as well later on today. So a lot to get into, a lot to unpack. Not only that, the Lombard news, but also the trade deadline. And look, a brutal move by Aaron Boone, I thought, keeping Yarbrough in the game in the eighth. So a bad Yankee loss. Overall, a bad day, but perhaps a new day, a new beginning here with Lombard now taking his place as the Yankees shortstop. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, After Hours here on The Fan.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's acidity refreshing!
1234! You're the fan in New York City! Tommy Lugauer! Lugie! It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. If you're just tuning in, George Lombard Jr. has been called up by the Yankees. He obviously will be in the starting lineup later on this evening at shortstop. Anthony Volpe, Yankee fans, you can have a celebration now. He is no longer up here. And basically, the Yankees, in my opinion, have cut ties with him. I think we've seen the last of Anthony Volpe, unless he wants to learn a new position or be a utility player. And there were at least rumblings that Anthony Volpe is unwilling to play a different position. Well, now he certainly doesn't have a choice, especially if he wants to remain on the Yankees. But I just think Volpe's days are over here. I think you cut ties. I said this a couple weeks ago. They should just get rid of him. Same thing with Wells. And obviously, Wells is going nowhere because the Yankees and Brian Cashman were unable to trade for catcher at the deadline, even though the Red Sox were able to do it. The Rays were able to do it. So the two teams you are competing for in your division were able to do it, but Brian Cashman was unable to do it. And as excited as you're going to be for George Lombard here, I can't help but, maybe this is a cynical side of me here, but this news is just very convenient because it was a bad day. It was an underwhelming trade deadline, and now all the attention goes to Lombard instead of bad deadline, bad loss. Some of the stuff that Brian Cashman had to say about Aaron Judge in his return, Cashman wouldn't even reveal when Judge would is going to go for more scans and more imaging. So we're at a point with Judge where, remember, he's got to get cleared for baseball activity and that hasn't happened yet. We don't even know when he's going to go for the imaging to maybe get cleared. And then if he's cleared, it's still going to take time for Judge to come back. And I have been very much optimistic about the return of Judge this season. Stanton, I just gave up on. But Aaron Judge, and now with Garcia and Ramos, Stanton can stay on summer vacation. Judge, I've been optimistic about. At first, I thought mid-August, then I pushed it to early September, but this was the first day, and hearing Brian Cashman, where he kind of left the door open a little bit that Judge might not return. At least that's the way I interpreted it. Quote, it's always possible that things don't go the way you want, but we are currently still very optimistic that he's going to return. Whereas it was always, well, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back. And now it's, well, we're still very optimistic. Yeah, you're optimistic, but until we get this guy cleared for baseball activity, that means Judge is still a long way to go. And if you're telling me you don't even know or you don't want to say or you don't want to reveal when the imaging is going to be, the next scan to potentially get Judge cleared for baseball activity, that, because obviously if you knew and it was good news, you would reveal it. So to me, that's a little bit of a sobering and a little bit of a somber kind of update on Aaron Judge, which, I mean, look, Garcia, I think, is going to be a huge part of this offense. I think he's good. I think he is the goods. He looked the part, certainly. That swing is perfect for Yankee Stadium. But you need, this is obviously the most obvious things I've ever said before, but Aaron Judge has to be in the lineup, and you need him desperately come October. Even with his struggles in October, you know, you'd like to think that this team needs Aaron Judge to finally get over the hump. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Robbie in Phoenix, he joins us next. What's up, Robbie?
Yes, this is a serious problem. It does not matter who's coming back and who's not coming back, because when the manager is a complete buffoon,
he didn't have a good night.
Why Cruz should have immediately started that inning? Yarbrough?
Don't get
Yarbrough?
I don't get it.
This man is so stupid, it would take him 72 hours to watch 60 minutes.
Yeah,
he is an
and
idiot.
He wouldn't even be watching it six times, meaning just the first viewing of it, the 60 minutes viewing of it.
Yeah, he's just a buffoon. He's an idiot. I'm fed up with this man. He makes mistakes. And here's the thing. In his post-game conference, he's even too stupid to understand what he did wrong. He's all smiley and all happy. I'm screaming at the TV, idiot, you lost the game again.
Let me ask you this,
he's
Robbie.
He's so stupid.
Would you rather have a roll of toilet paper or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
A roll of toilet paper. Yeah. No question about it.
You feel like the roll of toilet paper has a higher baseball IQ?
Absolutely, because I think the roll of toilet paper would have put in Cruz, that eighth inning.
Yeah,
I think
the roll of toilet paper probably less the analytical thinker that an Aaron Boone is, and certainly I would think a roll of toilet paper would rule with more of an iron fist here and wouldn't have such a country club type atmosphere, one would imagine, you know what I mean? Just from what I know about toilet paper, you know?
Right, but I'm saying I will go to my deathbed and I will ask why the Yankees hired such a stupid man to manage
this baseball team. You were ahead of this, as you know, within three games
of Aaron
Boone's
tenure. Games.
Yeah, three games.
Three games.
You were the first person ever to call this radio station demanding that the Yankees fire Aaron Boone. And here we are all these years later, Robbie, and you continue to stick to your guns, and as you should. And many have joined you in this crusade. And look, tonight was a game where I think Aaron Boone cost the Yankees a victory.
Yeah, Ed, but here's a true stat, and you can note this. 65.8% of their losses are due to Aaron Boone.
Yeah, I count your numbers, too. You're dead on, spot on with those numbers.
98% of their wins are completely in spite of him.
Yes.
This guy does nothing to improve the team. They have to fire him. The Yankees will never win a championship with Aaron Boone. Any manager in the world tonight would have not put in Yarbrough.
Let me ask you this, though. Would you rather, Robbie, have a dollar bill or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
Oh, a dollar bill.
Yeah. I figured as much.
Why do you? It's no, but is this a mystery why they would have such an idiot manage
organization? Number one, it is a mystery, and number two, and look, I mean, these are the viewpoints of Robbie and Phoenix. I mean, you keep calling them. I mean, you think idiot?
I can't be the only one.
Well, you're not, but I think you mean baseball idiot, not necessarily an idiot. I don't know Aaron Boone's IQ as far as
baseball.
Idiot.
Yeah, baseball idiot.
Definitely. Yeah, in the sports realm, you think his managerial skills are idiotic, so to speak? And
yes,
you were the first one
and
on the radio station. It's been proven time and time again. You just crunched the numbers for all of us. I think it was 98.6% of the losses for the Yankees falls on the shoulders.
No, 98% of their wins are just in spite of him.
Got it. Right.
65% of their losses he's part of.
Yes. Yeah, and look, I double-checked your math there, Robbie, and it all checks out. So, I mean, there's probably some people in our audience right now going, no, those numbers seem a little fugazi. I checked the numbers. I ran it through my numbers people here, my mathematicians, my statisticians. We have a full crew here on After Hours, a full staff, and they said, Robbie, that your numbers are legit. They do check out.
My question, it took me three games.
Yep.
9 years ago.
Yes, it did.
What's going on? How come the Yankee management does not understand this?
Well, you know what, Robbie? I don't know the answer to this, but I've told you before, I will email them. I will CC you on that email, and hopefully that could start a little bit of a dialogue between you, Robbie, and Phoenix with your... Remind the audience again, Robbie, what you do for a living. You're kind of like... Because I view you
I
almost,
am the manager yeah. of a PetSmart.
A manager of a PetSmart, so you
and the hotel, yes,
and the puppy. Well, not just a puppy hotel, right? A pet hotel.
Yes.
So I could bring in theory my cat there, and he can spend 7 days and nights in your kitty hotel, so to speak.
Yes, but we mostly have dogs.
Okay,
now what
exactly does now? Because I've never brought a pet to a hotel. What exactly are the accommodations for the dog at said dog hotel?
Well, there's two different things. There's a suite, which runs about $100 a night, and then there's a regular room, which is about $65.
Wait, hold on a second. You're telling... Okay, so the dog can get the regular room or you could upgrade him to a suite. Obviously, the suite having more, I would imagine, is bigger, has better accommodations, yeah. And that runs you about $100, I would assume, pre-tax per night for your doggy to spend a night or however many nights in that suite in your doggy hotel.
Yes, he gets playtime. And yes, and also he gets a little, if you get the suite, he gets a little TV.
He gets, well, now hopefully you don't put on the Yankee game and allow the dog to watch Aaron Boone be a baseball
no.
idiot. Okay, good.
No, basically cartoons and all that stuff. Just, it's a good business. Like I said, the people love their pets yeah. more than most of their relatives.
No doubt. And we've talked about this before. If I was on a boat surrounded by sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their head and I had the choice between my cat, Paul Rosenberg, who does a horrible job here, almost as bad as Aaron Boone, producing the show. And then, of course, Sean Marash, who, much like Aaron Boone, is an idiot. Not just in general, he's an idiot. If I had the choice of all three of those people and which one would I throw overboard, I would kick Rosenberg straight in the ass. I would literally watch him get eaten by the sharks. And then I would try, because he's kind of, you know, he's a little hefty, but I would try to lift Sean up and then throw him overboard, watch the sharks eat him. And then me and my special boy, my cat, we would sail off to safety.
Yes.
Yes. Now, let me ask you a question here, Robbie. Would you rather have a golden retriever or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
Oh, a golden retriever.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that one. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Moose joins us next from Jamaica. Moose, what's going on?
What's going on, Lugie? Hey. How are you?
What's happening?
Mind if I be Mr. Brightside about the trade deadline in the grand scheme of the Yankees, their roster, the money, the future of baseball, and all things considered? Granted, tonight's game was a good comeback, but obviously it fell short. The managerial decisions, this is just one of those games. That's baseball, Susan. I can't trip because I'm here for the long haul. I watch them when they win, so I have to see this. Part of being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the trade deadline, you have to remember, when it comes to the bullpen, yeah, we could add in more Hone or Weaver, but with Clark Schmidt coming back and Carlos Rodon coming back, you have to assume that two of our starters will go back into the pen.
Yeah, Warren and or Weathers will be going to the pen, or maybe even Clark Schmidt.
Exactly. And LeGrande was figured in with the September call-ups to be part of that pen once he comes back from his injury. So that's a third bullpen piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the bats that we picked up, you have to remember, you know, also with Volpe going down, Dominguez going down, maybe they become trade pieces in the offseason, we'll see, right? And Lombard coming up. I guess they're shaping their team with whatever free agents may come. Granted, that's if we even have baseball.
Right.
Considering the move by the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Considering the move by the Dodgers is almost hinting that baseball is heading towards a word stoppage and the institution of a cap and a floor. So I guess Cashman's trying to get ahead of the curve by almost making these moves, taking into consideration he's going to have to fill out his roster for the coming seasons or next season, whenever
he
starts. Yeah,
you know what, Moose? Whatever. And I just, if that was his thinking, and maybe that is playing chess, but I would have just viewed this year as its own year. I wouldn't have worried about next year when it came to the moves I made as a general manager. So if Brian Cashman was thinking about next year or beyond, I think that is a little bit of a mistake, but that's just my thought on that.
Regardless, remember, he's the GM until further notice, so he has to
do the GM until he steps down. He's never getting fired. Yeah. He will step down and take on.
You know what I mean? He has to
I know what you're saying. He has to think about
the
things.
Present, but the future.
No doubt. And I think that's part of, like, when we, as a fan or somebody in the media, when we criticize Cashman, we don't always take it to every little thing into account. He has to, fair enough. But you know what, though? The proof's in the pudding, and this team hasn't moved. And I appreciate the optimism, always, as you know, positive Tommy. So I appreciate the positive side of things, especially when things are negative. Because I do think there is a way to kind of view this as, hey, I'll do it for you, Moose. Well, and I heard it tonight on, and I'm not, I get it. Ryan Rucco was doing it. And he even prefaced by saying, look, I get it. Wells has been bad. I'm paraphrasing there. But Wells has been swinging a better bat, hit a home run tonight. So maybe he could, and this is me spinning it positively, not necessarily my thought on it, but this is a way you could look on it. Wells is swinging a better bat, so even though he didn't land a catcher, Wells, who did have a nice couple of years here recently, obviously only being up in the big leagues a couple of years, and this is the worst year he's had, so if he could somehow return close to form over the last couple of years, at least with the power numbers, maybe get, you know, better and acceptable production down the stretch, and obviously the defense is there with Wells. Garcia, to me, was the best bat available. You got him. It would have been nice to get a rise and either move on from Jazz or do something, put him in center field, I don't know. But you got the best bat at the trade deadline. Arise hits for high average, hits for power, is having a career year. Looks like a guy that is on the rise here, meaning not only this year, but next year he's under contract. So you got a really good player here in the prime. I mean, he's 26, 27 years old. So that's a good move. Ramos, look, he does strike out a lot. The defense is bad, but I do think he has a little bit of an edge to him, which I like. He hit 20-something home runs in the cavernous San Francisco park. Yankee Stadium is going to be a lot more advantageous to him. I don't think he's going to become a better defensive player, but he does help you against lefties, which the Yankees needed help with. You got rid of Volpe, you got rid of Dominguez, you got rid of Duvall, you got rid of Bird, so you did drop a lot of dead weight. I think when the dust settles in a couple days, there's a way to kind of take a deep breath. Lombard is up here now and say, you know what? All things considered, things are going to be pretty good here, or good. But the Rays got better, and they are showing no signs of slowing down. The Red Sox are right on your heels. And both of those teams acquired catchers. That's really the biggest indictment of this trade deadline. The fact that the Rays and Red Sox acquired catchers, and the Yankees, which is the position they most needed to upgrade, and they did not do that. Look, with Lombard coming up, you could say, all right, well, they didn't add another infielder. They only brought in Garcia. Fine. They did get another outfielder. They got rid of Dominguez. That's good. But catcher was the position that they needed to upgrade, and not only did they not do it, but the Rays did it, and the Red Sox did it. And I know the Red Sox gave up a ton for Rutschman. Okay, then why didn't you go get Hicks then? Were you so dead set on Jeffers that once he became unavailable here because Minnesota's playing baseball, what, you caught with your pants down, and now you don't know what to do? And not only did you not pivot, but you literally didn't trade for a catcher at all? Let's head out to Brendan. He joins us next in Babylon. It's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. What's going on, Brendan?
Hey, Tommy. How are you tonight?
What's happening?
So, a couple thoughts. I'm a depressed Mets fan that happened to attend the Home Run Derby in the Bronx tonight. So I want to make a couple brief Yankees points and then just pivot back to the Mets real quick. The one thing that sticks out to me about the Yankees is that I think it's almost full circle with the offseason, in that a lot of justification for the Yankees not doing a ton during offseason this year. You know, obviously re-signing Bellinger was the big move, but it was a lot more like, you know, what we did at the trade deadline, getting Bednar, and I forget some of the other moves, but I feel
Bednar,
like you're almost
Caballero,
coming...
Bednar, Caballero, Duvall, Bird, McMahon.
Yeah.
They felt like that was their offseason. That was essentially, like, in a way, their offseason. And they said, hey, we're going to run it back, which included Bellinger and Goldschmidt and
Grisham,
et cetera.
Yeah, and I feel like you're kind of running into that same kind of narrative here. Obviously, they added a couple pieces here, but I think, like, with the guys coming off the injuries in the pitching staff and hopefully with the bats, I think that's just kind of a little full circle moment. And I think the roster, if it's filled out with the healthy guys, it could be a real stiff competitor AL. And
I agree, that's the sort of the 100-pound, you know, elephant in the room is Judge coming back? Is Stanton coming back? And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I'm starting to lose hope on Judge a little bit. I don't like the answers I'm hearing from the Yankees now. It's getting to be sort of the bleep cutting time. It's early August, and they don't want to tell us when he's going for the next scan. Or, I mean, that's what he needs to take to get cleared to just start getting ramped back up, which is going to take time. So it's not exactly encouraging news in early August.
It's a question mark, and I think reason for concern on part of the fan base, but maybe the upper management knows something we don't. You know, that's something you hold that hope for.
Absolutely.
This is a Mets fan.
Well, here's the thing, though. And
by the way,
to get to the Mets, that goes two ways, though. The Yankees may know something we don't know in a positive way. They could also know something we don't know in a negative way, meaning they know he's not coming back, and they just don't want to tell anybody.
No, for sure. And I'll say, the Rutschman thing is a great deal for Boston, but they also sent three huge prospects to a division rival. So, you know, it kind of works in a few different directions with that.
I've always felt like, and look, Rutschman I'm not the biggest fan of, but you do have to give to get, and they gave a lot. We'll see if any of those players pan out. But if Rutschman helps the Red Sox win a championship, you don't care what those players end up doing because you got the ring.
100%. So the Mets point I just want to say is that being at Yankee Stadium tonight on a Monday night in early August, and the energy and the fans packing the stadium for a game against the St. Louis Cardinals on a Monday night, it brought me back to 2025 Citi Field, where I struggled to get tickets for under like $100 to see the Cardinals play the Mets in like late April. And it reminded me that like your team competes, it puts butts in the seats. And, you know, I'm thinking 9 months later to letting Pete go. And, you know, I called up Gordon Damer the night it happened. And I looked at the 86 tribute this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And I saw those guys, and you see it in their eyes and their hearts. And it's just like, it seems like such a missed opportunity that Pete Alonso fits that Met mold. And I just think, like, I'm just wondering how much slack is still there for Stearns. And we could talk forever about
you know, when we got slack back. How much slack he has in the organization?
How many strikeouts does he get versus Jorge? Like, who's leaving first, Jorge Polanco or Stearns? Because I'm just looking at
Polanco's
a tough
one, because the thing about Polanco, just in all fairness to him and to David Stearns, he got hurt. And I think a healthy year of Polanco, you would have got a lot similar to what you got last year, a guy that had good numbers, that had clutch hits in October. So that was kind of the issue there. I think that the lack of production that he has coming back, I mean, his season has just been, and I really think Polanco kind of forced his way back. I don't know if he's even really 100% healthy, but I get it. Look, they needed help there at first base, and they needed him back. But
the problem
here that we keep running into is the Mets were not necessarily a winning organization with Pete. And I think people are like forgetting that. Brendan, but like, there's a difference between being happy and the Mets being good. If Pete Alonso was here right now and the Mets were in the same position, you'd be happy just because Pete Alonso was hitting home runs for the team. I think you'd probably be in the same boat.
No, Tommy, and just real briefly, my view is that, you know, the 83 wins they had last year was in spite of the production you saw from guys like Pete and Nimmo, and he made those deals. And I think it was more of an indictment on the poor pitching staff that David Stearns assembled last year. If McLean hadn't come up and been starstruck,
he
and given
earlier,
us seven or eight
McLean.
Wins there. My bird's eye view on everything is like, man, like, I appreciate what we got back in the Clay Holmes and Taylor deal with the Cubs today.
But the bird's eye view
is just like, how much more is it going to take until enough is enough? Because I just think there's been so many misses here. And again, back to the 86 Mets. Pete is a guy that should be having his number in the rafters one day. He wanted to be here.
Yeah, I mean, he still could have it up. Tommy. I know he did back it up, but
he backed it up.
You also have to win ultimately, and be a consistent winner. And that, for me, is the reason why David Stearns was hired. And even if it's a step backwards to go four steps forwards, which I can understand is frustrating and upsetting. And it's not like Pete Alonso has walked into Baltimore and turned the Orioles into a playoff team. If anything, they're selling off young players, and they're rebuilding. So I'm sure they're not thrilled with anything going on in Baltimore right now as far as Oriole fans. And it just goes to show you that I think overall how many more chances, how many more opportunities. David Stearns, and I think rightfully so, and Steve Cohen has said this publicly, he's going to let David and his vision play out fully. Now, that doesn't mean the Mets won't hire a general manager in the offseason. I can absolutely see that being the case. In fact, I've been saying that for a while now. And you did talk about getting Jefferson Rojas, who automatically, he is now the number one prospect in the Mets system. He's a top 100 prospect, which you got for Holmes and for Tyrone Taylor. A guy that is highly thought of around baseball. So that, to me, is a major deal. And I wanted Holmes back, but when you get that type of return, when you now have your number one prospect here because of the dealing of Holmes and Taylor, hard to argue that one. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And that to me was my fan focus, the Met deadline here. They basically traded everybody that they could except for Luis Robert Jr. And look, they just couldn't find a suitor. I mean, they could tell you all you want about Luis Robert Jr. I think it's the fact that they just couldn't find a suitor. But outside of Robert Jr., including Brazoban, Weaver, a couple of guys that you could have kept, David Stearns had a very active deadline, and he acquired a million prospects as he is efforting building up this farm system and turning the Mets into a winner year in and year out, a sustained winner year in and year out. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Keep cool out there, folks. It's gonna be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.